Welcome to the Remote Nomad Podcast. This is your weekly escape from the 9-to-5 grind. Every week, we interview industry experts from around the globe on remote work, landing a remote job, the digital nomad lifestyle, and mastering your mindset. Prepare to be inspired as you learn how to create a lifestyle with more freedom and flexibility. I'm your host and remote career coach, Kate Smith. Do you want to land a remote job so that you can have more freedom and flexibility? Download the free Remote Career Playbook. Inside, you'll learn the exact 6-step framework that I use to help clients successfully land remote jobs in less time and without all the overwhelm. No experience required. See link in the show notes to download this free offer or head over to theremotenomad.com/free gift. Today, we are joined by speaker, coach, and guru of one of the most overlooked yet critical skills for remote workers. And he's even given a TEDx talk on it, Saving Soft Skills from Extinction. I'm excited to welcome today's guest, Scott Asai. Welcome, Scott. It's great to have you here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
I'm really excited to have you on today for many reasons. So Scott, just for everyone listening, you and I had actually, I think, first connected on Instagram. You had reached out to have me join you at General Assembly, and we did a speaking event together, and we had a really great, powerful discussion then. And I really wanted to bring you on the podcast, and there's a few core areas that I'm excited to talk about today. One is that you're an expert in soft skills, and this is a skill that is just so overlooked when it comes to landing a remote job, but it's so critical, and not even just to land a remote job, but to thrive in a role, any role for that matter. And I want to dive a bit more into that and why that's so important for everyone listening today. And you're also what I've realized in the time that we've connected, you are just this master networker. And it's something that is so important in terms of developing relationships and connections and all of that. And I see you really thrive in that. And to me, that's so important, not just to land a remote job, but really your network is what essentially recession-proofs your career. And this is an area that a lot of people fear. And I know you've shared before that you're introverted. So when you add on that layer as well, you know, you have these super extroverted people that also have a fear of networking. And here you are, you have mastered the art of networking. You have mastered the art of these soft skills that are so critical when it comes to, again, not just landing a remote job, but really thriving in a remote role as well. So to kick things off, I'd love for you to just take a moment to share your story and share what you do so that those that aren't too familiar with you can learn a bit more about you.
Sure. So I think I'll try to actually start in the current and sort of go backwards a little bit so people kind of have an idea. So currently I do basically virtual presentations. I would call myself like a soft skills trainer. And I do that really through two ways, speaking and coaching. The reason why coaching is because that's the business that I started about 14 years ago or so, primarily career coaching, but then I transitioned more into doing executive coaching for like young leaders. And what I found is I think, you know, I was a little bit hesitant to do speaking for a while. And I think I'd shared with you before too, that was something that I had always been fearful of, you know, in high school, college, and maybe right into my first job out of college. And then I realized that I think it was a lot of all the negative self-talk that was going on in my head that, you know, the average person does have in different areas. And so once I was able to kind of identify and change that, then I realized that not only does speaking land me more speaking and coaching gigs, but it's also a challenge. And I think that the average person wants that challenge. They want to step up to the plate and, you know, be ambitious about the goals that they set. And so for me, really, you know, the TED Talk that I did last year was kind of a challenge to myself the year before. You know, I said to myself, hey, if you want to be, you know, legitimate as a speaker, the first thing that popped in my head was to do a TED Talk. And so I had no idea how to do it. I contacted people about how to do it, and I, you know, sort of followed the steps, and it took a while to land one, but I eventually did. And when I did it, you know, a lot of people asked me like, well, do you feel different? What did you expect to happen afterwards? And I said, really, I did it for myself. You know, have opportunities come out of it? They did, but I think I wanted to prove to myself. And so if anything, if someone asked me like, well, what's different now than it was before you did the TED Talk, I would say, I just think my confidence and comfortability level has just exploded afterwards, because It's something I can put down on my resume, I guess. And also too, is just for my own achievement's sake, I was able to accomplish it. So, you know, currently what I'm doing is I primarily work with tech companies and tech conferences, and I provide sort of these soft skills presentations, primarily virtually right now. And I find that, and I don't wanna, you know, go too far ahead, but I found that soft skills tend to lend themselves really well to technology because it's a very hard skill dominated industry. And so sometimes when you talk about it being overlooked, especially, you know, doing remote work, you're right, because those are things that we don't really put on our resume. We don't really sometimes even know how to sell them, but it's really like us having this conversation right now. Like without soft skills, this conversation doesn't happen.
That's amazing. And so let's start from the basics here for everyone listening. What are soft skills and why do they matter?
So soft skills, I think, are the ability to communicate with other people. You know, so I would say like the soft skills that I think of and I tend to talk about the most, and there's more than three of them, but these are the three I tend to talk about the most, is communication, leadership, and emotional intelligence. So I think, you know, sometimes I know Simon Sinek calls it human skills. Sometimes he feels like soft skills are a little bit too soft, for lack of better terms. But really, it's really humanizing, I think, things and having that conversation. So when I think of something like networking, I don't think of it as like a transaction. I think of it as a relationship. I think of it as a connection. And as an introvert, it kind of changes the game for me, because then I look at it as like, okay, so how do I start a conversation with Kate? Like, not what am I trying to sell to Kate? It's how do we just find common ground and talk about those things? And if we have chemistry like we do, then we continue the conversation. And if we don't, then all I did was I've lost like, you know, 15, 20 minutes of my life. It's not a big deal.
Okay, I love that. Let's dive into that. The mindset you mentioned about having this mindset shift from, okay, thinking of it as a transaction versus just building the relationship. How does somebody get started? You've obviously progressed so far with this. How does somebody get started with making those shifts to become more comfortable? And I think you've given a great example of thinking of it as a relationship versus a transaction. So how do people get started with that?
I think a lot of times the questions I get asked is, you know, I don't have a network or I don't have a strong network. How do I build one, right? And I think you start with people that you already know. You start with your friends and family, you expand from there, you ask them to introduce you to people, you throw yourself out there, like on LinkedIn, you send a connection, but you also send a follow-up message of why you wanted to connect with them. And then I think nowadays, because virtual is where things are at, it's very easy just to ask people to hop on Zoom for 15 to 20 minutes just to kind of grab virtual coffee, I guess you could say, right? For myself, that's really how I was doing it. You know, years ago, is I would really grab coffee with people in my area, and I would just have conversations, and people would ask me like, well, what do you talk about? And I think the biggest myth about networking is that you have to be extroverted or you have to be able to sell yourself well. And I think it's just the opposite. I go into it with a mentality of not having an agenda, and I go into it with a mentality of just being curious and wanting to sort of ask questions and get to know the person. And it's almost like a challenge to find out areas that we can connect on. And at a certain level, maybe even nerd out or geek out on those things, because you find a topic that you're really passionate about. And then you find that you could probably pick that conversation up anytime. So I would just tell people, like, it's not so much about the number or the width of your network at the beginning part. You got to start somewhere. And the conversation piece will get easier as you practice and practice. But most of all, you just have to get started. Like, networking is action oriented. It's not theoretical. It's not an ideology. I like to call it a lifestyle. I think if you treat it like that and you make it part of your lifestyle rather than just like a goal I'm going to do for like 30 days, it's the same reason why diets don't work.
That's a great point. You know, we have these everyday interactions, whether it's the cashier at the grocery store, whether it's getting coffee, and it's not just the interactions that you have when you're getting on a coffee chat. The skill can be developed, like you said, through family, through friends, through these connections, these people that you're passing by every day. What is your advice for somebody? Obviously, it can feel a bit scary and intimidating. What's your advice for people when it doesn't go as planned? Maybe the conversation's just terrible or awkward, or maybe you get no response. How do you keep going when you get those no's or when things just don't go as you really hope for?
So I think that the average person will probably connect, you know, relatively well. I don't want to throw out a stat, but I would say maybe around like 75% of the people that you're going to connect with, you could probably just have like a quick conversation with. And even from there, even if you do have a good connection with them, chances of you following up and continuing the conversation is it definitely gets lower. You know, I would say too, it's about figuring out how to be relatively adaptable in situations and not completely losing yourself. You know, I think like the more knowledgeable you are in a lot of different areas, and not like an expert, but just, you know, a little bit about that, then I think it lends itself for you to either give advice and or ask questions about it because you want to know more. I think honestly, there's really an art in asking questions. And sometimes we think like we have to impress people. We have to like tell them something that's going to blow them away. But I find that sometimes the reason why people will say to you like, well, you're a really good listener, is because you ask questions and then you be quiet, you know, and that allows the other person to kind of, I wouldn't say take over the conversation, but it lets them lead the conversation for a certain amount of time. And sometimes our best connections are because we meet people who listen to us. It's not about like, oh, I'm a good talker, or I could, you know, shoot the breeze with anybody. I think it's that helps, but it's can be intimidating, especially to someone who maybe isn't or doesn't see themselves as, you know, severely extroverted.
I love that. I think when so many people think about networking and communication, it's what am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? It's about the listening and asking the questions. That's incredible. So what tips do you have for people in terms of, you talked about this art of asking questions. How does somebody get started? Do you have any sort of tips for people to keep in mind?
Well, assuming that you're not meeting a complete stranger off the street, I think it's good to do a little bit of research ahead of time. You know, I mean, you don't need to like cyber stalk them, but you need to do a little bit of research and figure out certain things that you feel like you could start a conversation about. Then I think you want to focus on a lot of like open-ended questions. You know, don't ask a question that's closed that's going to end with a yes or a no. You know, do you like your job? Yes or no? Like, there's not much else to go with that, right? But if you ask an open-ended question, a what, a how, a why sort of question, it gets it to expand. I also think biologically it fires more things in your creative or your right side of your brain than it does the left side. So it gets people out of their own head. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're so maybe stiff or nervous or even academic to some degree. And the better conversations happen when, you know, someone says something that sparks an emotion and then you just sort of, you know, light up and it just goes from there. The only other tip I would say is, you know, nowadays, if virtual is like the new in person, I think you need to really understand how to pick up on body language, you know? So a phone call is better than an email, but Zoom is better than, you know, a phone call. And then obviously, you know, in person is going to be better than virtual, but you have to sort of figure out like, okay, so depending on the platform that I'm using in terms of the medium of communication, what is the way I'm going to be able to best communicate and not, and also too, is not miscommunicate. I think a lot of times we can read into things over a text or an email or a message, and you have to be really careful. You know, I would say you want to be actually maybe a little bit more conservative. You know, you, if someone doesn't get your sarcasm, probably don't put it in if they don't know you that well. And err on the more professional side at first. You can always, you know, kind of let loose a little bit later, but at the beginning part, you know, I think sometimes because we want to be more informal, we tend to come off a little bit more casual, and it comes off to be a little bit less professional.
Okay, I love that. I've got a lot of questions coming up in my head right now. First of all, I do want to talk about the body language aspect of it and being able to read people. What sort of tips or what sort of cues should someone look for when you're communicating, when you're connecting with somebody in terms of body language?
So I think one thing that I find really interesting is to be able to try to mirror the person that you're talking to. So if they use hand gestures. If they're making eye contact, make eye contact. I mean, I think those things are good anyway, regardless of whether they're doing them. But I do think that, you know, head nodding like you're doing right now, I think acknowledges that you're listening to the person, right? I like to see someone's like face light up about a certain topic that they're passionate about. So yesterday when I did an event, a General Assembly event, you know, the speaker that was there, like I said something and then she just like lit up and then she was like, oh my gosh, I love what you said. And then she just kind of went off and we went back and forth probably like five times, you know, and I realized, I'm like, oh, I hit something that really, like, you know, lit up a switch. And she was able to just kind of, you know, kind of go off on it. And those to me are the best types of conversations. And so sometimes I'm trying to find out, like, you know, how do I find those things that someone could talk freely about, rather than just kind of going through the motions like, oh, how are you? How's your job? Tell me what you like, what you don't like. Like, those are kind of boring questions, to be honest. I think it's just trying to figure out, like, some passion points.
I love that. So almost thinking of it as, instead of, you know, I'm trying to get this job or whatever it may be, looking at it with curiosity of, what's the thing that makes this person light up? What sort of questions can I ask until I can figure that out? And so when you talk about mirroring, just going back a bit, you talk about mirroring and the head nodding and all that. Why is that important? What's really going on? Like, why does that work?
I think psychologically, it puts the person at ease. I think sometimes that's actually a tactic that you would do with kids. So, like, if you're talking to a kid and they're much shorter than you, it's smart to get on their level, right? Like, literally, like, lower your body and talk to them, like, face to face, you know? So that's something I kind of learned, like, at an early age working with kids. That was helpful. But I also think that communication is not just spoken word, you know? It is sort of like how your body moves, your facial expressions, your tone, your intonation, things like that, you know? And it's sort of this, it's this soft skill that is probably the most popular, or arguably maybe one of the most important ones too. But I think that we kind of think of communication as just verbal, and really, like, I would say that nonverbal is actually sometimes more powerful.
I love that. And so how then, especially with COVID and everything going on, how do we transfer that into this online world where it's not always in person, or maybe it's just a Zoom call with no video? How does this all translate to the virtual world?
So I'd argue to say that actually speaking virtually is harder than speaking in person because of the lack of feedback, especially your example of the dark camera, right? Like, no one's there or the name's there, and you feel like you're literally just talking to yourself, you know? So I think some tips that I've heard that have been pretty helpful is, like, you know where your camera is and, like, talk to it as if it's a person. And one thing that I did as someone who's a little bit more introverted when I speak is, instead of looking at everyone in the audience, I try to, like, lock eyes with a couple people who are, like, making eye contact or, you know, body language. Or when I speak on Zoom, you know, instead of doing, like, the mode where it's like speaker mode, I actually tend to do gallery mode, and I want to turn on the videos, and I want to be able to see people and see what they're doing. Because sometimes people forget that the camera's on, you know, they sort of let their guard down, and, you know, if they're crossing their arms, they look kind of bored, then I know it's time to, like, switch it up, you know? So I think a lot of it is an energy transfer, for lack of better terms. And I think sometimes, like, if the person that is being interviewed or talking is just kind of, like, monotone and low energy, it's honestly just really hard to follow. So, you know, I would just encourage people to, like, pick topics that you feel like you have something to say about or you can contribute to. Not to say that you're always going to have those things, but sort of have them in your back pocket so you can talk about them. Because when you do talk about them with passion, then you just naturally, the body language just kind of kicks in.
I love that. And so you mentioned again about being introverted. So I do want to talk on this for a bit. I think for myself, I can be a little more extroverted, but I know there are lots of introverted people out there. So how does this differ for people that are introverted versus extroverted? And what are your tips or advice when you are introverted? And this idea of, I can imagine this idea of networking and connecting with people can feel a bit daunting. So what tips or advice do you have around navigating that?
So I think to start with is, sometimes people assume that extroverts like to be around people and introverts don't, which is really false. It's really more the energy that you get after you see those people. So someone who's more extroverted, after they meet with a crowd of people, they're, like, fired up, they're energized, they have all these ideas. They're just, like, you know, bouncing off the wall, right? Someone who's more introverted can actually, you know, put on a show, but they can sort of, you know, like me, I could be a situational extrovert when I need to be, but after an event's over, I'm tired. I kind of want to be by myself. I want to watch TV, like veg out, something like that, you know? So I think, first of all, start with that. The other thing is that, think of it in terms of numbers, you know? So an introvert does better with one-on-one or small groups. An extrovert does better, like working the room or being in, you know, around a lot of people, right? So sometimes it's a matter of knowing like what type of situation you're going to thrive in, you know? So for me, an extrovert would say to you, to me, well, I don't see the point of you getting coffee with like five people. Like it's only five people and it's five times you have to go. That seems like a waste of time, right? Well, I would say, I think that going into a room of 100 people and getting like 50 names is a waste of time too. So it's really like a matter of perspective. And I think for someone who's more introverted, it's more about the quality of relationship. And I think someone who's more extroverted, it could be the quantity of it, right? And neither way is wrong. Neither way is wrong. And I think that's the thing is that we think, oh, is one better than the other? No, one's not better than the other. It's a matter of understanding who you are and what your style is and embracing that and then doing that as best as you can.
I love that. Just that self-awareness and understanding how you thrive best, because there can be ways extroverts do better in certain ways with when it comes to networking, where introverts can thrive, and just having that awareness and knowing how you thrive. And I can see that being really powerful, actually, being an introvert and networking, because you get to form in those smaller groups, you're forming those deeper connections than perhaps a big group full of people. So we've talked a lot about communication and all of that. You mentioned before about leadership and emotional intelligence as well. Can we explore emotional intelligence and really what that means and why that's so important as a soft skill?
Yeah, sure. So emotional intelligence also too, to start with kind of a brief definition, is it's really your ability to manage your emotions with other people. So sometimes I think one of the best ways to describe it is kind of like a self-regulation. Like you literally are become an objective viewer of yourself when something happens, and you're able to kind of like pump the brakes when you need to. So instead of reacting emotionally, you can actually like stop yourself, process really quickly what's going on, and then decide if you want to respond or not. And it's really like, it is a deeper self-awareness, you know? And I think it shows itself in the work setting. Probably the most famous guy who talks about emotional intelligence is Daniel Goleman. And he's had a bunch of books that are out there on emotional intelligence. He talks about, you know, some pretty powerful stats that I think that grabs people's attention. So if you take someone who has, you know, like, I don't know, average emotional intelligence versus someone who has high, I believe that the person who has the high one has a 2 times better chance to be promoted. And then also too, in a senior role, executives tend to have 4 times as much emotional intelligence as someone who's like, they're lesser type thing. Now, I don't know if that's completely true in terms of like, you know, that's probably more of an average overall. But what I get from that, and this is kind of like my own example, is that, you know, take a technology role, right? You get hired as a developer, an engineer, mobile app, a coder, right? That's a very hard skill-based technical role, right? When you want to get promoted to a management role, a leader, a middle management position, you all of a sudden have to now acquire soft skills, because your job isn't to do those technical skills that well anymore. It's to be the manager of the people who do well in their hard skills. And then your job is to make them better. And the way you make them better is to understand how to coach them, to motivate them, to give them feedback, things like that. So I think that it plays itself pretty strongly into that. You know, I think leadership and emotional intelligence are pretty much like hand in hand. It's hard to like separate them to a degree. And I think that it's one of those things where some people honestly are naturally more gifted at that. Not to say you can't learn those things. It is a learned skill. But I do think that the people who naturally are good listeners, naturally are observant, are self-aware in general, they're able to pick up on cues that other people have and then be able to appropriately respond.
I love that. And so you sort of made me think, we've sort of brought this, we've talked a lot about networking and building relationships, and you've just mentioned now how it can be beneficial within in the workplace. And this makes me think as well, you know, when someone's going through that interview process, it's one thing to network with people and just get curious. When you're going through that process, and a lot of people listening going through that, you know, process of landing a remote job, doing interviews, how does this transfer over in that way? Because I can imagine somebody listening right now and saying, okay, you know, the networking side of thing. All right. Okay. I'm a little more open to that. I'm feeling more comfortable. But then as soon as someone says job interview, it's like, ah, so how does somebody manage that shift from, okay, I'm just networking, I'm connecting with people, no big deal, to the point where it's like, oh crap, my potential job is on the line. Am I going to get this job? Am I not? So how do we transfer those soft skills into that type of scenario?
So I think you bring up a really good scenario. I think that most people would say that the reason why they got an interview is because of their resume and the hard skills that they put down on there, certifications, degrees, experience, right? So let's say that hard skills get you the interview, right? I would argue to say that soft skills get you the job, because you have to be able to sell yourself. You have to be able to answer the question, why should I hire you? You have to be able to form a connection with the interviewer. You know, sometimes we go into the situations and we're so nervous that we're fumbling through our answers. And not to say that your content doesn't matter, because it does matter, but I also argue to say that it's really important for you as an interviewer to connect with the person who's interviewing you, whether that be one person or a panel, you know, because that's something that they're going to remember. They're going to remember like, oh, you know, we had a lot of people who quote unquote qualified. We may have someone who's highly qualified, maybe even, you know, maybe they're, you know, they're in a position where it's even a little bit below them to a degree, right? But what you're really going to remember, remember is the idea of like, if you made a connection with someone, you know, and I think it could be on something silly. It could be something on, has nothing to do with work. But I think at the end of the day, what's really important too is, do these people like you? Because they're going to work with you if they hire you. And if they don't like you, even though you're really smart and you're really accomplished, they're not going to really give you a shot, because they're like, okay, well, so-and-so is really good on paper, but quite frankly, I can't stand them.
I love that. I think that's so important. I think that when you know, hiring managers and teams are bringing someone on, they want to work with someone they like and that they can get along with. Really, that's just so important. And I can see that going really far and being really important. And I like what you said, just focusing more on establishing that connection than, you know, a lot of people overthinking, am I going to say this or that? And how do I answer this? It's like, just connect with the person, you know, have them like you, like see if that connection is there. And that can go really far. You've mentioned some resources so far. Daniel Goldman, I believe it was, Simon Sinek. If someone really wants to start diving into this and maybe on this podcast episode, they realize, okay, this is really important. I need to really just start diving into this. What resources would you recommend for someone that's really curious in developing this skill?
So I would say one thing that's not necessarily soft skill reliant is the Strengths Finder. I've mentioned that resource to you before. I think it's really important to understand who you are. I think that the best leaders in any industry are the most self-aware, which translated means they know what they're good at and they know what they're not good at. And I think you need to know that going into an interview, because you're able to clearly state what value you bring to the organization. And that gives the decision maker the ability to say yes or no. And similar to marketing, when you're marketed a product or service that doesn't make any sense, because you're confused, you say no. Even if it's like alluring or it's cheap or, you know, you think it's a good value, if you don't understand what you're buying, you're kind of just like, I'm going to say no for now, right? Whereas if someone is very clear about what it is that they bring to the table, whether you really want that or not, they can say yes or no, because they know exactly what they're going to get with you. You know, so I think it's really important as professionals to understand what your strengths are, because if you don't, that responsibility doesn't fall on anyone else except you. So that would be one. I mentioned like Daniel Goleman's books, Emotional Intelligence. You could probably like Google those and you could find a bunch of different resources. My favorite TED Talk, and the one that kind of inspired me to do one, was Simon Sinek's. I'm not exactly sure the name. It has to do with this concept of the golden circle and the idea of what's your why type thing. If you look up, I think he only has like one or two TED Talks.
Does it start with why? Is that's one of his books? Or
I think that's his book. Yeah, that's his book for sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what the actual TED Talk is called. And actually, it's the older one. He did a newer one that's like, it looks like visually better, but honestly, the content of the first one was like pretty mind blowing to me. And so I think like those are good resources in terms of like you know, beefing up your soft skills in general. I would say overall though, honestly, the best resource is just to practice. Like we can consume all this information, but until you get there out there and practice, you know, doing speaking, interviewing, networking, like those are things that you can learn in the classroom technically, but you're not going to get better at unless you actually do it in the real world. Yeah. So I would just urge people, I'm a big action person. So I feel like people need to be pushed to actually physically do it. Because if they don't, then I just feel like you're never going to get better at it.
Yeah. And so you mentioned with this strengths finder, becoming aware of what you're good at and what you're not good at. I imagine for some people listening, identifying what you're not good at can feel really discouraging and feel like, well, great, now I'm really not going to get the job. I've just learned all these things I'm not good at. What does someone do with this knowledge and information once they have it and realize, okay, I'm good at this and I'm not so good at this? How do you manage that and where do you go from there?
So I think that everyone does at least 2 to 3 things really well. And some of us understand what those things are and some of us don't. But if you look back on your life and you take something like the Strengths Finder and it's able to identify what it is, then you can really leverage that. Now, in an interview, you are going to usually get asked a question like, what is your biggest weakness, right? And people fumble over that question. They don't know what to say, right? Well, if you know you're going to get asked that, you should really plan for that. So I'll give an example of what I normally say on interviews, and maybe that'll help. But I always tell people when they ask me, oh, so what's your biggest weakness? And I tell them like, well, I'm just impatient. And they go, oh, okay, so tell me more about that, right? I said, well, you know, if I'm at work and I'm waiting for someone to get back to me in terms of like moving on to the next thing, like I'll just start to take initiative and I'll just try to like do my own research. I'll ask around. I'll try to get answers. It's difficult for me to just sit still and not do anything, you know? And so as I'm talking about this and giving examples, now they've forgotten that my weakness is being impatient. And now they're thinking, wait a second, this guy takes initiative. He's self-motivated. He seems like he's, you know, a catalyst for certain things, right? And so there's ways to really flip that question to make it work for you. And I think other things like, I'm not the most analytical or detail-oriented person. I know that about myself, you know, but I'll talk about big picture. And I'll talk about vision. I'll talk about soft skills, things like that. And so I don't think that you can avoid talking about your weaknesses. You know, if someone's going to ask you, you can't lie about them. But I do think that you can frame them in a way that ends up serving you and not working against you.
I absolutely love that. I think that's really important for everybody that's even applying to a remote job, being able to frame maybe the not most ideal scenarios or traits in a positive way. Even when it comes to, you know, maybe you left your job because you hated your boss. How do you frame that in a positive way, right? And communicate that in a positive way. I love that. And so do you have any other tips when it comes to mindset? Like this is a lot of mindset work, I imagine, right? Like this can feel really daunting. Do you have any specific tips or things for people to keep in mind when it comes to making those mindset shifts? We've talked a lot about this already, but is there anything else to help people just feel more confident with whether it's the communication, emotional intelligence, and just feeling more confident overall?
Yeah, I would say one thing that people need to understand is this idea of like professional development. It's something that some workplaces offer and a lot of workplaces don't. I always tell people that don't ever rely on a company to fulfill your professional development needs. And so with that being said, with all the content that's out there on YouTube, you can pretty much DIY anything, you know, that you want. One thing that's really important is to make sure that, you know, you're taking it upon yourself to grow. And sometimes I think when we think of growth, we think of being uncomfortable, and that's correct. It is being uncomfortable. I think like, you know, once you plateau and you sort of get content and you even get complacent to a degree, you're not getting better, you know? And so I'm not saying that you shouldn't celebrate, but I am saying that you should be able to push yourself in areas. So my example of speaking is kind of a challenge to myself, you know, like it wasn't like anything I was going to get as a reward. It was just something I wanted to do because I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it, right? And I think we need to be our own cheerleaders to some degree sometimes and hold ourselves accountable to things. And I also would say too, like, and I know Kate, you understand this, is that, you know, if you ever jump into entrepreneurship or even when you're jumping into a job that you realize isn't a good fit, the most successful people, once again, in any industry are don't avoid failure. They actually are able to get through it better than the average person. So if you read like a success story of a, you know, a book about someone, you're like, oh my gosh, like this person, it just seems like they just fell into it. No, they didn't fall into it. It took them a lot of years of failing, falling on their face, losing money, people telling them they were crazy, things like that, right? They're just more perseverant. And I think when we look at failure as a stepping stone to growth or success, then we are less, we take it less personal when things don't go our way and we realize that's just part of the process. A lot of times what happens is that, you know, no one likes rejection. No one likes to lose, right? But the difference is that a person who's committed to something, they look at that and say, okay, well, you know, one door closed, I'm going to go in a different door, right? The average person will just say like, oh, well, the door's closed. I just want to stop. I don't want to feel that way anymore. So I'm going to do everything I can do to avoid that feeling. And by doing that, you don't do anything. You know, so I think like this idea of failure and growth is really important. I think that's just like a career skill in general that people need to kind of embrace, whether it's a soft skill or not. I don't know if it's, you know, officially one, but I think it's an important aspect because it's not something that you're going to learn like in a textbook or learn like in a college course or something like that. It's something that you kind of just have to experience and learn from and then sort of go forward.
I love that. And it makes me think, and some people listening may hate me for this if I say this, but you think of the evolution of technology has, quote, taken away some people's jobs, right? And in my opinion, I think you need to grow and evolve with industry and with your job. And that's something that's important to me, always learning and growing. And I think that's important that you've said that instead of just getting complacent in your job, like, okay, this is it and whatnot, to really, it's your responsibility to take it upon yourself. Your employer's not going to say, okay, time to do this, right? Like you have specific things that you need to do on that job, but it's your responsibility to really grow, thrive, and take your career to the next level. And it's important to always be developing these skills. And even everyone listening today, like looking at that emotional intelligence, getting out there, practicing this. I really love that. And I love what you said too about, you know, when these things aren't going your way, not taking it personally. It's okay to fail because you learn through failure. I love that. And I think that that's a really good takeaway for everyone, just like not taking it personally and realizing that all of this is your responsibility. No one's going to say, okay, now we have to go do this. So Scott, you're an expert in this field. Is there anything that, that people need to know that we haven't talked about yet? And like, when it comes to soft skills. Yeah, we talked about, you know, why they're important and how we can develop those skills. Is there anything else that we haven't covered yet or that we've missed when it comes to this?
I mean, I think as an introduction, I think we covered, you know, quite a bit of ground, and I don't want to give people so much information that they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't remember anything. You know, I think I would just kind of wrap things up by kind of saying that with soft skills, it's not so much about, you know, what you learn from a book or an online course or like from even watching someone else, but it's more about the practice and getting like more reps in, you know, like using like a workout term or fitness term, right? It's like, it's about taking what you know and applying it and seeing how it works and then going back to the drawing board. And sometimes, you know, realizing, hey, that wasn't very effective. I better figure out a better way to do it, right? Like that goes for networking, that goes for interviewing, that goes for just having a conversation with someone. You know, I think there, and I think a lot of times people think like, okay, so tell me the formula. Well, I'll tell you the formula. There is none, because you can't, people are dynamic. And I think that's one thing I really like about soft skills is that it's very humanizing and it makes us very, you know, connectable in the sense that we're like, you know, I could give you questions to ask people like when you go to get coffee, but sometimes like you need to like trash those notes and you need to like go with what you feel like is going to go, you know, well, right? Like, I'm sure like you had some pre-planned questions that you had before we got, you know, to talking, and then you decide to go with some and you got to skip some. I don't know which ones you're going to ask. And I'm okay with that. You know, some people want to know like, okay, tell me exactly what I need to know to kind of do this. And it's like, well, I hate to tell you, but like humans are not robots, you know, and understand like a lot of it is being able to, it's trial and error. You know, it's like when people ask me, you know, cause I have two kids and they ask me like, oh, can you give me some parenting advice? I'm like, no, I can't. And they're like, what? And I'm like, I can tell you my parenting experience, but I don't think that what I'm going to say is going to work for your son or daughter, because they're not my, they're not the same person, right? So even between our kids, what works for one doesn't work for the other. So it's not like you can read a book and just be like, okay, this is, I figured it out. You know, like if that were the case, then like we wouldn't have all these dating sites. You know what I mean? Like if that was really the case, like we wouldn't need all these other avenues to, you know, propel these relationships. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you just have to get out there and do it, you know, and hopefully you'll learn from your mistakes and get better at it. But it is a work in progress. And even myself, I can definitely beef up on some of my soft skills. I'm not too proud to say that I can't.
I love that. I really like what you've made this point that this isn't something that's just black and white. And I think especially for those that are looking for a remote job right now, they look in the sense of everything being black and white. So, okay, I've got to get this credential. It's another thing to put on my resume. And when it comes to soft skills, it can feel like, well, why should I develop that skill? I can't necessarily put it on my resume, but yet that's going to be what gets you the job. Like we said, the resume has, okay, a lot of those hard skills, but when you're in that interview, your soft skills are going to be the make or break if you get that job. And so for everybody listening that, and I know, and I see this so many times, people are like, okay, yeah, they want to know like the formula and what exactly do I need to do? And I think a big takeaway for everybody today, which is important, is realizing that it's not just about like stacking the skill set. Like get out there, start having conversations, develop these soft skills, because those soft skills, like we've talked about, are going to get you the job. They're going to get you the promotion. Those are the skills required to go further in your career. And, you know, it will help you within the workplace when it comes to finding a remote job, when it comes to building these relationships that will continue to serve you and the rest of your career. So I really like that you've really just, you know, there's almost like a bit of ease to it where it's like, okay, just like get out there, start talking to people one step at a time and not being afraid to fail. Scott, before we leave, I would like to leave everybody with a little action they can take today. So what would you recommend everybody listening today? What's one action they can take today to really to taking their soft skills to the next level and developing that?
Yeah, you know, so you said something that kind of made me have an idea. And I think when it comes to your soft skills, a lot of it is building trust. And a lot of it is building rapport with someone, you know? And I think that once again, there's not a formula for it, but it's kind of like a challenge that you have to figure out how to get there, right? I think like, for example, when I contacted you, right, through Instagram, I think through like a message or something like that, right? Like, I don't know if you're going to respond or not. You know, and if you do, great. And if you don't, I got to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to do that, right? Like maybe my value proposition wasn't good enough. I mean, fortunately, you did get back to me. But, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of those. And quite frankly, I get rejected more times than I do successfully connect, right? And so I think a lot of times with you know, thinking about soft skills and stuff like that, to simplify it, a lot of it is like, how do you build that trust, you know? And what do you need to do to get to that point? And if you think about like, say your favorite leader that you've had, you know, in your lifetime so far, whether it's like a formal position or not, it could be a friend, could be a parent, could be a, you know, a sibling or whatever like that, right? My guess is the way you're going to describe them is going to be soft skill related. You know, it's not going to be like, oh, so-and-so is such an accomplished fireman or whatever like that. It's like, yeah, that's nice, you know, but that's really not how you describe someone. You know, you describe them like soft skills can be like an adjective to some degree, right? Like, so I think like, if you think of it like that, I think it kind of, I'm all about being able to do whatever you can do to like disarm people, you know? So like when I'm in an interview or I'm talking to someone, like, I don't want them to be like uncomfortable. I don't want them to be tense. Like, what can I do to break the ice? You know, like, I don't need to always crack a joke. I could crack a joke. I think humor does help. But I think what it really is like, try to like, be open and honest and vulnerable. You know, those are soft skills, I think. And how am I going to build like some type of connection with you? And if I can do that, I think whether the other person can identify that that's a soft skill or not, I think that you've made the impression that you want to make.
That's amazing. I've just had so many thoughts go through my head as you're saying this. This is incredible of, you know, when people are sharing what they think or about somebody, what came to mind was Tony Robbins. If someone were to talk about Tony Robbins, I don't think I've ever heard one person in my entire life say, oh, he has this credential. I don't even know if Tony Robbins has any credentials at this point. All I know is everyone's like, oh, if he feels good and he transforms lives and all this stuff. And when you look at it like soft skills, hard skills with Tony Robbins, I don't know that anybody could tell you any of his hard skill credentials of like, does he have this or that? And really about when someone's talking about that person, like what's really coming up. And even with the messages and reaching out, I think what came up for me is, you know, when people are reaching out and they're starting those connections, I think oftentimes they can totally overthink it and get overwhelmed. How do I get this person to respond? And the reality is like, sometimes it's just bad timing, right? Like if you caught me at a really busy, just bad time, it could simply just be that, or it could be the messaging, right? And I think as long as you're willing to learn and grow as you go throughout the process. And it reminds me as well, this little, I guess, mindset trick that I have when I'm doing that, whether I'm reaching out to somebody, I think, how would I think or feel if I received this message? So instead of thinking of it from the perspective of like, I'm sending this message to this person, reverse the roles. If someone sent me this message, would I respond? So like when you message me, okay, if I sent this message, if I received this from some person, would I be willing to respond to that? And just really considering the other person. I think that's another thing too, that really ties into this is I think so often we make it about ourselves. And it's like, if you can focus on the other person and make it about them, just the weight of everything, it's lifted off your shoulders. And like you said, just get curious about the person and try to find that thing that they're passionate about, that little spark, and ask those questions so you can get there and connect with people. Scott, it's been so great chatting with you about this. Again, this is such an important skill that not only helps people land the remote job, but keep the remote job, get promoted, build an incredible network of people. How can everybody learn more about you, learn more about working with you? Can you share a bit more about that, where we can find you online and everything?
Yeah, so the easiest, probably two ways, and the ways I'm going to get back to you probably the quickest, is just my site, which is basically just my name, scottasai.com. And then if you search for my name on LinkedIn, that's a really easy way. I tend to be pretty active on there. I think part of it too is just being able to be easily accessible. You know, like we want to be found. You know, we don't want it to be a mystery of how to connect with someone. You know, and I think what I found too is in terms of communication, you figure out what people's preferred medium is, and you sort of use that, right? So some people I text, some people I DM, some people I call, some people I video. You know, it's just, you kind of have to figure that out. That's like an individual preference, you know? And so sometimes by asking, how can I reach you? Like, don't go another route. Like the person's giving you the answer, like take the answer and run with it, you know? And I love to talk about like soft skills and how they apply to your career. Once again, I always am looking for, you know, situations where I can talk to companies or at events, and it doesn't have to be tech related per se. I just say that that's what I tend to speak at. But you know, I've gotten approached by a lot of different industries in terms of doing like trainings or doing like presentations or even doing individual coaching sort of, you know, with that. But I think, you know, soft skills fortunately is a big enough like pot where there's a lot of different ingredients in them. And I find that it's something that quite frankly, as technology evolves, like you said, in terms of like trying to figure out, okay, your skills need to evolve. I would say that as technology evolves, the need for soft skills tends to increase, not decrease. And I don't think it's ever gonna peak because we have more and more barriers that keep us from communicating effectively. And at the end of the day, you know, once again, we're humans before anything else, before we are our jobs, right? And the way to connect with people is by using those soft skills.
That's absolutely incredible. I think that especially with this world being so technology driven, just the importance and really going back to the basics of that, being able to connect, because we are, what you said, humans at the end of the day. Amazing, Scott. Thank you so much. I will link to all of your LinkedIn and your website. And I love that you made that point, connect with people how they want to be connected with. So don't be reaching out to Scott on Instagram or something. Go to the website, go to LinkedIn. I really appreciate you sharing all of your wisdom and insights tonight, and jumping on the podcast and sharing with everybody listening today. And again, I'll be sure to link to all of to your LinkedIn and your website below. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thanks so much, Kate. It was fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Remote Nomad Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other streaming services so you don't miss an episode. Share this episode with a friend so they too can learn how to create more freedom. And show your support by leaving us a review so we can reach even more people who are passionate about the remote work movement. In the meantime, you can find me over on Instagram at The Remote Nomad, where I share more tips and insights into landing a remote job. That's it for today. I'm your host and remote career coach, Kate Smith. Thanks for listening.